We're gonna worship the King. the rock of my salvation. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. For the Lord.
167. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment, the hope for all I do. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment, the hope for all I do. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment, the hope for all I do. Center of my joy.
Let's sing that one more time.
Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment, the hope for all I do. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. He's already provided. He's already provided. Already provided. Every promise you can claim. Just ask it in His name. Everything you need, He's already provided.
You find yourself a prayer partner and tell him that, amen, that he's already provided everything you need. Tell him, no matter how big it is, God's got it for you. Just find somebody and give him that encouragement. Tell him.
Every promise you can claim, just ask it in His name. Everything
you.
voice, hearts in one accord, lifting up our praise to the Lord. The wind begins to blow like the bird we saw. Everyone will know you are Lord. You are Lord. As it was in the time of the day.
Somebody, everything's gonna be all right. Yeah, tell somebody everything's gonna be all right. everything's gonna be all right. Let's just have some fun. I know it's getting a little late, but somebody say, praise God. We're not sounding like Pentecostal people around here. If I say praise God. Oh, if you're alive this morning, say praise God. Yeah. Oh, how many Holy Ghost filled people do we have in this place? Says if I don't praise him, the rocks will cry out. I feel like going out there and finding me some rocks. Yeah! Somebody say, praise the Lord. Say, I've got the Holy Ghost way down on the inside. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Somebody say, glory, glory. They were rocking and rolling down the streets of Jerusalem. And the people thought that they were crazy, cause they were having so much fun. And Peter said, these are not the dragon you suppose, but just very, very filled on the Holy Ghost. How many Holy Ghost filled? They were rocking. That they were crazy, they were having so much fun. This is that. Peter said, he's on the drunk and you suppose, and just very, very filled on the Holy Ghost. Let's sing it. They were rocking and rolling down the streets of Jerusalem, and the people thought that they were crazy, cause they were having so much fun. Peter said, he's a nut, drunk and he's supposed, and just very, 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 very feel the Holy Ghost. Let me see who's got the Holy Ghost. Well, this is that spoken by the prophet Joel. So fine. good.
You're so fine. You're so fine.
Rain yesterday, and everything's looking fresh and green. And we have several things going on this week that'll help keep everybody fresh in the Spirit of God. Tonight we have our service at 7 o'clock. You guys don't want to miss that. We'll be back here on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock. Friday mornings we have our Watering Word Seed that meets at Billy Coon's house. It's a wonderful opportunity to fellowship and water the Word of God and learn. And that if you need directions, you can go to our website, get directions from there. If you don't have a computer, see just any one of us and we'll give you directions on how to get there. Friday nights, our Holy Ghost meeting, 8 o'clock. Awesome time. Also, children, we have our next outing coming up, Saturday, April the 27th. We're going to the zoo and for a picnic. So I'll be getting with you parents on that. And lastly, I just want to report we had an awesome women's meeting yesterday. Ladies, I would like to put a challenge to you. There's a lot of hurting and wounded women out there. And I'm challenging myself this month to minister to one lady and have her here for our next meeting. And so I'd like to put that challenge out to you there. We need to get together and help each other overcome and learn to be the women that God's called us to be and to walk in that life.
Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, glory to God. Well, Jesse, we're ready for you.
Everybody, let's stand back up for a moment. Gotta get sawdust off my pants here. How many of you know what time it is? Anybody? Anybody else? It's offering time, amen. We like to incorporate that in with our praise and worship so that we don't make too big of a distinction between the two, because offering is a form of worship and we honor God. I mean, you can look at the very beginning of the Bible, it talks about offerings. And we know that Cain's offering was not accepted, Abel's was. They both gave something. But it's not just about giving something. It's not just about putting an amount of money into that plate. That's not going to do it for you, and it's not going to do it for God. You've got to give Him what He requires. And we know that He requires a tithe, but He also requires your best. And He will tell you and He will direct you as to how you should give. I'm not going to tell you what to give. I'm not going to beg you to give a certain amount. You have to hear the Holy Ghost for yourself. And whatever He tells you to do, if you give that, He will accept your offering. But when you disobey and you back off, you know, offerings are serious with God. You can look all throughout the Bible, you know. I mean, look through the New Testament. Ananias and Sapphira, they gave an offering. They did, and they died because it was not what God asked them to do. Someone should understand the importance of hearing God at this time and not taking it lightly. God will direct you to give something, and it's not too much, and it's not too little. It's just what you need to give so that you can pay your bills, so that you can take care of your children, so you can do all the things that you know that you need to do. God may ask you to give something that looks impossible, but it's not. If you obey, God will meet your need, I promise you. We have several witnesses to that. So how many of you have heard God and know what you should give this morning? That's an important thing. And you can hear God even before you come. You can pray and ask God, and He'll direct you as to what you should do. And God is a fair and just God. His yoke is easy, His burden's light. He's not going to require you to do more than what you can do. But He might ask you to take a step of faith every now and then. But I just want to tell you, your giving and obedience will make a difference. If there's a need out there, and I have needs, if you have a need, proper giving is how you get out of that need. Not just giving, but proper giving in the right spirit. So I want you to lift that offering up, and I want everybody to stand up and just raise your hand. All right, just raise your hand. Whether you have something to give or not, everybody raise your hand and participate in this. And put your faith to it. Father God, we mix our faith together right now in this time of sowing, Father. We know that your word says, whatsoever we sow, that is what we're going to reap. So right now, we sow our best. We sow the very best that you've given to us so that we also might reap the very best that you have for us, Father. Father, we sow bountifully so that we will reap bountifully. Father, and we sow cheerfully so that we might reap in joy, Father. All the promises that you've promised us, Father. Right now, we have prepared you our best, and we give it to you gladly and with thanksgiving that we have something to give this morning and that you're taking care of every need in this place and you are prospering us and bringing us up in the things that you have called us to walk in, Father. I thank you for every person in this room and for your covenant of blessing with them, and I pray that you begin to move on a supernatural way on these offerings. And Lord, that you begin to move in faith and start to meet some needs, Father, in Jesus' name. And we thank you and give you all the glory. Amen. Well, you may bring your offering up.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Pull me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day. He will make a way. He will make a way.
Play that for us, Crystal. Why don't you just sing that with her?
He will be my guide.
Isn't that good? Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. All right, why don't you open your Bibles? Let's study some stuff together. Is that all right? I was just thinking about some stuff. We really cover some strange topics in this place, don't we? Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. If y'all with the kids going, yeah, they're out of here. Amen. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. All right. Exodus chapter, let's go there. Exodus chapter 17. Ooh, Lord. And all of the congregation of Israel, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched their tent and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore did the people chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with us?" Wow, isn't that a trip? Everybody say the wilderness of sin. Tell me, how did you feel when you come out of the wilderness? You ever heard that song in the 70s? You watch those shows? They used to sing that. Mm-hmm. Come out the wilderness. Come out the wilderness. Amen. Well, some people can't sing because they never came out of the wilderness. Amen. All right. The wilderness. Everybody write that down if you're taking notes this morning. If you're not, you're just going to miss everything. Amen. You're not going to be able to apply it to your life. Now, listen. The wilderness is the place. What's that prime word in that wilderness word? Somebody say wild. Everybody say it again. Wild. The wilderness is a place for wild people. Amen. God lets us go through the wilderness to tame us. Amen. He doesn't want wild dogs in his temple or in his kingdom, right? So before we can get to the promised land, he takes us through the wilderness that he might be able to work all that wild, somebody say wild, junk out of us. Everything in the kingdom of God is cultivated. Did you know that? And that promise that God has for you, that life that God's trying to give you, he's not going to give it to you acting crazy. Somebody say amen. He sends you through, let me tell you what, between bondage, the place of bondage, and the promised land, there's a wilderness in between those two things, right? Amen. And why do you go through the wilderness? Amen. So you get a prize from being the crazy one that wins the way out? No, the wilderness is set there to get all of the wild stuff out of you. When I studied that word wilderness a while back, it said the place for the wild. And there are a lot of people, you know, they seem all quiet, sweet, and innocent, but they just as wild on the inside of their head. Amen. They're not cultivated to the kingdom of God, to the ways of God. Amen. They're not trained. Somebody say amen. So God sends us to the wilderness. Now that wilderness, I tell you what, the wilderness is the place of sin, because out in the wild, it's one of those places where you can do just about whatever you feel like doing. That's why they call it the wilderness of sin, because sin is basically a place of direction. You can make lots of decisions and go any little way you want to. And, you know, have it your way in the wilderness. If you want to swing from trees, you can swing from trees. You want to just splash in the water, you can splash in the water. Say, in the wilderness, you can make your own way. You can do whatever you feel like doing in the wilderness. But I tell you what, when you get to the kingdom of God and you get to the promised land, you ain't going to be changing nothing.
Amen.
He's prepared it. Somebody say, God's prepared.
God's prepared.
The promised land.
The promised land.
You know what? So you got to realize now, in the wilderness, you have to make everything happen. There ain't no tents out there. Amen. There's nothing. Amen. There's no gardens out there. You got to work it. You got to make it happen. Now, God does every once in a while, miracles happen, you know, for people so that they could make it and live and survive in the wilderness. But when you get to the promised land, you're going to find out. He said, listen, I go to a place and I prepare it for you. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
What God has for you, he's already set it up. And you know what? He's just getting you ready because he's been working on it. Somebody said, my place is already prepared. Mm-hmm. The Lord's already done it. See, so what are you trying to do? See, it's not like you got to get there to make the thing happen. No, it's already prepared. Amen. The reason why we're not there yet, because we probably mess it up with our wild attitude. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Anybody just seen people hit? It's like you get on a nice block, you know, and everybody got cultivated to get there. They went through some things to get on that nice block, and all of a sudden somebody hit the lotto. Wow, there goes the neighborhood. Amen. That's the way it is with the kingdom of God sometimes, and that's why we have the wilderness. Even this kingdom life is not for wild people. You know, you just can't go just act any kind of way and claim the fullness of the Spirit, the fullness of God, the joy of the Holy Ghost and all that other stuff. That's not for everybody. It's for people that have been cultivated by the Spirit of God. through wilderness experiences, you know, by having decisions. Jesus had to go to the wilderness before he came into all that God had for him. He was given opportunity after opportunity. You know, you can do this, you can do that, you can do whatever you want to, but he had to stick to the will of God for his life. So they say the wilderness, the only way out of the wilderness is the will of God. What is the way out of the wilderness? Knowing the will of God for your life. Now, there's a bunch of stuff that'll come there. A bunch of, you know, there are all kind of paths. Every little goat that, you know, every little animal that, you know, if an animal treads down a path long enough, it's going to make a little path. And you don't know. You think you're on the, you know, I got me a gold trail here, you know. And you don't know there's some old goat or beaver or something been trailing that thing long. And you ain't going nowhere but to a swamp or something. But it looks like a path. They say wilderness people. I crack up looking at wilderness people. Is there a trip? Amen. I'm tired of being in the wilderness. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now listen. And listen, they were in this wilderness of sin. And they got mad in the wilderness because they were out there in the wilderness. And there was absolutely no water. Everybody say no water in the wilderness.
No water in the wilderness.
You know, people get themselves out there in the place of indecision. You know what? And expect God to provide from the wilderness. He will. You know, but we get ourselves out there in a place of indecision where God's always having to work a miracle for us. Always having to bring a breakthrough. Something supernatural's always got to happen. Well, those people started to complain. Everybody say complain.
Complain.
And several things happen. Wilderness people have a mentality. Somebody say wilderness mentality. I mean, wilderness people got a mentality about them. They are a trip. They're always griping, always complaining, always moping, and always groping. Somebody say amen. And if you go out to the wilderness, all the animals make noise. You never get out there, all of them, all the things are clucking and howling and barking and screaming. Monkeys are screeching, apes are doing all, and in wild places, they make a lot of noise. Well, it's the same thing with people that are in the wilderness experiencing their life. All you hear is noise. Amen. What's going on today? Calamity today, calamity tomorrow. And there's always sirens in the wilderness. Well, one of those sirens is this. And look, it says the children of Israel were in the wilderness, and they came to the place where there was no water. Wherefore did the people chide with Moses and said, "You give us some water to drink. You got me into this." No, Moses said, I'm not going to take. Is it not his desire to get him to the wilderness? He was trying to get them through the wilderness to the promised land. But they thought, no, you weren't getting me to the promised land. You just got me out of Egypt. Let me tell you what, God's not just looking to get you out of a mess.
Amen.
He gets you out of the mess so he can take you someplace. Notice he told Abram, he said, listen, I brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans that I might give you a place that you don't yet know. Amen.
Amen.
If God brought you out of something, he just didn't bring you out and say, okay, now go, because chances are, if you don't get to where you're supposed to go, where God wants you to go, you'll be right back in the ditch again.
Amen.
God just doesn't deliver you from something horrible in your life to let you just wander out there without a purpose. God sets you free that he might give you something else. And in between the big promise of God, you know, and the deliverance of God, people get stuck. Say, God brought me out of a mess.
God brought me out of a mess.
To give me a promised land.
To give me a promised land.
And people that don't limit church people, Christian people, mindset people, people that come out of stuff and don't get to where God wants me to go, all they are is a problem. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Why? Because they haven't realized that God brought me out of something to take me to something else. Somebody say, I don't belong in the wilderness. I don't belong in the place of indecision. And as long as you're in that place, there's going to be problem after problem, circumstance after circumstance, and you're going to be clucking and crowing and all this other stuff, right?
Amen.
So the people did chide with Moses. And this, he said, listen, now Moses, everybody say Moses.
Moses,
if you look up the word Moses, you know Moses was the lawgiver, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it also says he was the drawing out. Somebody say draws out. Wow.
Draws out.
His name was basically, he had the ability to draw out things. He drew out the children of Israel, amen, out of Egypt. And also that drawing out says the one that draws out water. Amen. That was his name. You know when he hit the rock and water came out of the rock. Did you know that Moses' name itself means one that has the ability to draw out water? Tell me he wasn't called of God. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So Moses was out there in the wilderness. I tell you what, when you've got a Moses in the wilderness, you can get there and he'll send you some help. There's some situations out there. Let me tell you what, when you just hear God, listen, that wilderness, if you learn what the wilderness is all about, it's out to condition you. It's not all about escape. You're not trying to, in the wilderness, you don't try to escape the wilderness, you try to escape yourself. And that's what you're going to find out. The rock is not the issue. Amen. That circumstance that you're in right now, that situation you're in right now, there's an anointing out there. He'll send a Moses to you. Amen. There's supernatural Moseses out there that can do some supernatural work and say, look, that thing that nobody else can get anything out of, I can smite it and water will come out of it. Amen. That business that nobody else can make work, amen, a man of God will come and hit that thing with the word of God. Somebody say amen. The rod of correction. Amen. And make that thing produce.
Amen.
They can make rocky things produce. Amen. Things that aren't supposed to happen, they can make it happen in the name, if you learn. You're going to find out there are some specific people in these two passages of Scripture. And if you learn what these people are and what they can do, you're going to find those same people in your life today. You're going to learn what Moses represents. You're going to learn what Joshua represents. Amen. Somebody say glory to God. Amen. If you want to.
Amen.
How many of you are in the wilderness today? How many are in the wilderness? Oh, don't lie to me. Amen. How many of you out there in the wilderness? Or how many of you got to the promised land? If you got, I'll tell you what, let me give you a test. Somebody loan me $20,000 right now. Get up off of it right now. Come on, Tommy. Yeah, you pull it in your wallet. No, you pull at the wallet. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. God, let me tell you what the promised land is. I'm going to tell you what the promised land is. You haven't arrived at the promised land unless you're reaping all the benefits of Deuteronomy chapter 28. Not just think, oh, I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there. Well, I'm going to get there. There's a lot different than I'm there.
Amen.
Somebody say amen. When you arrive in the promised land, you're whole in your mind. You're whole in your relationships. You're whole in your finances. You're whole in your spirit. Amen. You're not tripping all the time. You can get there. And the promised land is not just a sweet by and by. Thank God we get there. To the sweet by and by when we die. Amen. But you can have a little bit of life while you're here on earth. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And because they were here in this wilderness experience where so many of us are, most of us are right here, we get to the point to where we get all upset. And they got upset with the anointing that God placed over them. Amen. Because they didn't have water. And they said, listen, you brought us out of Egypt to go to this wilderness, us and our children. Well, wouldn't you want to stay in Israel where all the children died? All of our cattle. Dummy, you were a slave. You were one of those cattle. Amen. The cattle that God gave you to get out of there like it belonged to you. People are a trip. God hooks them up and gives them stuff. Then they get in the wilderness and act like they had it all along. You brought us out of here to kill our children. Amen. And their children survived. Never they had to put blood over the door or the firstborn would die. Amen. God delivered those children. Amen. Because they listened to Moses. Amen. But they forgot that. Those kids that God gave them. Amen. That were supposed to be dead. Right. And all the cattle, you know, they were broke. They were slaves. They were broken in bondage. And all of a sudden they come out of Egypt with all those people stuff that God had done for them. They say, you brought us out of that stuff to tear us up. No, you were tore up before you got out of there.
Amen.
Somebody say glory to God.
Glory to God.
So they begin to chide with Moses. Somebody say grapple. Hold a controversy. You can tell wilderness people there's always a controversy about it. Always some friction. Always a gripe about this, always a gripe about that. I don't know about this, I don't know about that. This is the word of God this morning, amen?
Amen.
You're going to find that this happens all the time. Some say complain, contend. Some say debate and strive. See, there's a difference between chiding and murmuring. Before people get to the place where they start to murmur, and murmur is a whole lot worse than just complaining, they usually chide. And many times words will come to us from the pulpit. Words will come to us from God. We'll hear stuff. Amen. And then we just, somebody say, I'm going to battle that thing. Somebody say, I'm going to strive with it. Amen. Let me tell you what, when the word of God comes, I'm not out here to debate with anybody. Somebody say, amen. I'm just out to speak the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I don't know about all this prosperity stuff. What are you talking about? I don't even believe it. I don't even know about it. Amen. Well, that's usually chiding, you know. What is God talking about? What is he talking about? All this stuff in the scripture, speaking in tongues and all this other stuff. I doubt that. Somebody say, they begin to chide with Moses. They begin to, well, hold on. They forgot before, you know, when they were in bondage, that slave owner said, hey, you better get that brick up off that floor. Amen. They didn't have to debate about it. Amen. They said, hold on, let me think about it for a second. I don't know if that's the right thing. Pow! Amen. And they picked it up real quick. Then all of a sudden they've been out of the wilderness. They've been out of Egypt for a little while. Amen. And Moses said, hey, let's move on. Well, wait a minute. Let me think about it. Somebody say, lest we forget. Come on. Now, there were some things when you were in bondage, the devil didn't have to ask your permission to get you to do stuff.
Amen.
Amen. Cry. Well, let me think whether I want to cry now. Hold on. Let me give you a couple bills. Let me let a couple things in your life fall apart. He'll get you to do what you want to do. Amen. What he wants you to do. You were in bondage. Amen. See, that's the difference between God and the devil. See, the devil forces you to do stuff. The devil forces you to do stuff. You know, he forces you by circumstances and situations, amen, to respond and act the way he wants you to act. That's when you're in bondage. But when you come into the liberty that's in Christ, God's not going to force you to praise him.
Amen.
He's not going to force you to have a good time and do all the stuff he wants you to do. But I tell you know what, until you do what he wants you to do, you won't get into his property, into the land that he promised to give you. You'll keep your little wild butt right out there in the wilderness.
Amen.
You can't climb the fence. You don't know where it is. Somebody say glory to God. He said, hold on, before you bring him, he said, get him out of bondage, but before you can bring him into what I completely have for him, I want them to get through some stuff in their mentality, in their mindset, in their heart, then they'll be able to cross over. Somebody say, thank God.
Thank God.
But he sent them Moses. Somebody say, Moses. Thank God for Moses.
Thank God for Moses.
To speak the word of God and to bring them through. And the people thirsty said, and the people, after they began to chide, somebody say, chide, that means to debate. To bait, to strive, to grapple, to complain thoroughly. I tell you what, you get into the right house of God, hopefully you're going to hear the word of God. Hopefully you're going to hear the word of the Holy Ghost. You're going to hear the word of God. You know, you got to trust the Spirit of God. Amen. God's going to lead you beside the same thing, right? And when that word of God come out there, listen, you save yourself a whole lot of time. Stop fussing about the things of God. And try to receive just a little bit of it because you know that it's out for your good. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
How many of you fought something that was good for you? And after you finally received it, it ended up turning out good. Oh, yeah. Like when we first start talking about tithing. Amen. Oh, Lord, what a battle that was. Then all of a sudden you got into it for a little bit. And say, hey, wait a minute. I got more than I had when I started out. Somebody say chide.
Chide.
Then after you get to that point, somebody say murmur. Now, that's the second stage. That's when rigor mortis sets in. First, they start to, I tell you what, when you get people, you know, you can catch them. They come into the place. And somebody told me this about 2 years ago. Well, I'm going to come and I'm just going to hear what you say, but I'm the type of person, I'm just going to debate with you after you get the service. You don't mind if we come in Europe and we just debate about what you talk about. I said, no. So you ain't going to come in here debating. So you might as well hit it here. I'm not here to gripe and prove any point to you.
Amen.
Amen. You go find somebody you can agree with. Amen.
Amen.
You take it all to be wrong, but just go out the door. I don't have no time for that mess. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
There's lots of voices out there. Find one you can agree with. Amen.
Amen.
And you need to change the word. The word was here first. Somebody say glory
amen.
To God.
Glory to God.
So after people, they get to the point. Let me tell you what. Before they got to the point to where they started to murmur, they got to the place where they were always picking, nitpicking stuff. Nitpicking this, nitpicking that, and carrying on about this, carrying on about that. Then they started to murmur. Everybody say murmur. Murmur. Now you know what murmur means? What do you think murmur means when you look it up? Now murmur means just a little bit of talk here and there. Let me tell you what the real foundation to murmuring is. Stopping.
Wow.
It's when they get to the, before, look, they were walking and just talking. Come on, y'all, follow me. I'll follow you, but you don't know where you're going. Somebody say they do it. Somebody say, you've met people like that? Yeah, we'll do it, but I'm gonna give you a little back talk every now and then when we get there. Amen? And we walk that way for a little while. You know, I don't know whether we'll ever get there or not. Don't y'all remember Egypt? They start remembering stuff that never really happened. Don't y'all remember how good it was there in Egypt? Anybody heard people talk about that? Don't y'all remember we were on drugs? Don't y'all remember we had all them no good people we can't find today? Amen. Half of them dead, but don't you remember what a good time we had with them?
Oh.
Amen. And all of a sudden, them girlfriends you fought with for years, amen. I mean, you don't remember the time y'all pulling each other hair out, but you know, after you get saved and times get rough, you start remembering them as your best buddies. Say, we remember. Somebody say selective memory.
Selective memory.
We start to remember all good stuff. We don't remember what we ran from, amen. Somebody say amen. Go on back. You'll remember.
Amen.
Now to murmur, it means, listen, it means, the root of that word, to murmur, okay, is to stay permanently. Mm. Is where they're griping, their attitude, their words have gotten to the place to where, hey, you can't get them out of there if you tried. That's it's a spiritual condition that people get into. When that's why God can't stand murmuring, because they, look, I can't. He said they're done for now. They decided to stay in the wilderness when they started to murmur and complain. Notice that not many of them made it out of the wilderness, and they didn't make it out of the wilderness because they murmured. Somebody said, now that word means to be obstinate. In words, to complain or abide. Somebody say abide. Or continue to dwell in it, to endure in something, to grudge. It means to be left. Somebody say, be left. There are certain graces and certain anointings that come to deliver you and bring you out of stuff. Then after a while, it gets to the point to where, look, they plead with you a little bit, plead with you a little bit. Hey, look, this is the right way. This is the word of God. And then people are so set, you know, they're so set, they're going to block in. I'm going to stay in this mess. I'm going to have it my way. And then you know what? Then God takes you over to the book of Romans, where he turns you over to your own way. Amen. He said, well, you go, here's some wild stuff. You can build your world any kind of way you want to build it. There's one I've already prepared for you. Amen. There's one I've already set up for you, and I'm trying to get you out of here to get to that place. Amen. You know, and people say, no, I'm going to do it my way. Well, here's a wild place for you. Amen. All this uncultivated stuff. Hey, go put yourself a world together, and you control it. Some say murmur.
Murmur.
They were all able to murmur because they all had a better idea. They all had a higher plan than God and all these other things. So God left them out there in the wilderness to see what they could do with it. You know what they could do? You know what they did with the wilderness? They took that wilderness and made it a big cemetery. All of them died there. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Somebody say, when we start to murmur, somebody say, that means you're getting left. Mm. Somebody say, glory to God. This is a good teaching this morning.
Amen.
It's a real good teaching. Teach us how to get out. How many want to be left behind? Amen. I just can't wait to be left. Glory to God. Well, we're going off to the promised land. Amen. Those that murmur be left right behind. Amen. If you want to look up that word, the Hebrew word for that is L-U-W-N or loon. Okay? L-O-O-N. Okay? The Strong's number is 3885 if you want to study it for yourself. To be obstinate, to dwell, or to endure. We're supposed to be enduring in the Word of God, but there are so many people that just endure in foolishness. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It means to lodge, to remain, or to tarry. Somebody say praise the Lord. So they got to the point where they wanted to tarry, and then we go on to verse 4. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? He brought them out there. He said, now I'm stuck with them. I didn't bargain for this. I was trying to get them to the promised land, but here we are stuck in the wilderness with all these people. Lord, have mercy. I tell you what, in your ministry, you'll get to the place where you pull some people out. Make sure before you pull them out of the land of Egypt, make sure they're thoroughly convinced where they're going. Amen. I'm getting you out of drugs. I'm getting you out of bondage. I'm getting you out of poverty to take you over to here, because if they don't know, they just think they're getting out, chances are they'll go right back. You got to learn what God wants to do with people. Tell people. See, that's the thing about people. People say, oh, you got to get out of hell. You got to get out of hell. Stop sinning. You're going to go to hell. You're going to go to hell. And everybody's so afraid to go to hell that they get out of hell, but then they don't have anywhere to go.
Amen.
The biggest thing about salvation is knowing where you're going.
Amen.
Having some type of direction. You know, I'd rather sit in a rut someplace and walk around in circles.
Amen.
Do you know where you're doing? Do you know where God wants to take you? Not just sit up there and look stupid and try to wait to die. Then maybe you get to go to heaven. God's got a destiny for you. God's got a plan for you. There is a God.
And he does have a prepared life for you. It's already put together. And I tell you what, it's good. It's got good relationships in it. It's got provision in it. It's got happiness in it. It's got joy in it.
Amen.
It does work. It does come together supernaturally.
Amen.
And you can have it. And unless you're walking for that plan and in that thing, guess what? You're going to be stuck in the wilderness somewhere trying to figure out where you're going. Somebody say hallelujah. He said, "What shall I do unto thee? They almost be ready to stone me." Why did they stone people? Why did they stone people? There were certain reasons why people got stoned. For adultery, right? They got stoned for all kind of stuff. But they stoned people for saying stuff. They said, "Hey, this is the word of God." And if that word wasn't of God, they would stone them. I believe they were probably going to stone Moses because they said, "You didn't hear God. You ain't taking us nowhere. You said God wanted to bring us out to the land of promise. Here we are out in the wilderness." Stone them. Anybody had religious people get them off in a mess? Amen. Messed my whole life up. Now I got rid of my friends. I ain't got nobody. Amen. I was with Daddy Big Bucks. Now you told me it wasn't right to be and all this other stuff. Now I ain't got nobody sitting up here, just sitting up in church looking at y'all. That wasn't God. Yeah, boy. How many had? See, many people don't get like that. When God deals with your life, yeah, you have to. He weeds some stuff through. You gotta tell you, get rid of this, get rid of that, getting. You know, I tell you what. If God's not telling you how to manage your stuff, you don't have the real Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He'll work through your life and say that ain't worth jack squat.
Amen.
Rip it out. Mm-hmm. Amen. That mindset ain't worth nothing. He's out there to change you. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You want to get out of the wilderness, change the inside of you. Everybody wants to cultivate everything around them but themselves.
Amen.
When you're in the wilderness, stop trying to trim the bushes, trying to trim the hedges of the world around you in the wilderness. You're not supposed to be there long.
Amen.
You're not to dwell there. When you're in the wilderness, get yourself ready to go to the other side. Who gets ready in the wilderness? You do. So when that spirit comes for deliverance, he's looking for all stuff, saying, "Let me find some stuff. Hey, that's a tame thing over there. They don't belong out here." But when the spirit of deliverance comes through the wilderness, and everybody looking like monkeys and freaks and all this other stuff, he said, "Well, ain't nobody ready to get out of here." Are you ready to come out of the wilderness? Do you think just because you get to the promised land, you're going to start to look like you belong there? Many people want to blame their circumstances on their wilderness. We ain't got those shoes because we in the wilderness. We ain't got this attitude. We in the wilderness. It's all God's fault. As soon as we get there, we be all right. God will pull provision for you out of rocks.
Yes, amen.
You got to start where you are.
Amen.
Change your attitude where you are. You think you're going to start acting dignified after you get blessed?
Amen.
Start acting that way before you get there. Somebody say hallelujah. I'm teaching this morning.
Yes.
And I still got 15 minutes. Hallelujah. We're not totally Catholic yet. Amen. And Moses said, "Listen." And they cried. He said, "What shall I do with this people? They're trying to stone me." I pray I preach so hard you want to stone me sometime. You throw a rock at me, I'm going to throw it right back. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. I haven't gotten there yet. Amen. Says you cast the first stone. He's without sin, cast the first stone. Amen. Hey, hallelujah. But you know what? That's the way it is when you get with somebody's trying to take you someplace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're going to fend some stuff. Glory to God. It's travel time. Every time when you get on an airplane, sometimes the airline steward says, "Fasten up your seatbelt. Turn that laptop off." Amen. Stop acting crazy. Well, it's the same way with God. When you're about to go someplace, God will get people in your face to prepare you to get ready to go. You're not going to get up there dancing and doing whatever you feel like doing, amen? Especially in this time on any airplane. There are rules and regulations that we must abide to ride. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
They'd put you off the bus. You act crazy, amen?
Amen?
Now you can't even get on the plane. If you look crazy, you can't even get on the plane, amen? I mean, you come in the airport looking crazy. Hey, that ain't going nowhere, amen? That's the same thing with a lot of people. We don't want God to condition us, amen? God's in the wilderness. God doesn't want to tame the wilderness. He don't want to tame the wilderness. He wants to tame the thing in the wilderness, you.
Amen.
But he can't do that. You've got to do it. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now listen, And the others, he said, wherefore thou smotest the river, take in thy hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock in Hebron, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of the rock, and the people that the people may drink. And did so in the sight of the elders, and he called the name of the place Massah, because of the chiding of the people of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us? Isn't that amazing? Who were they? Were they griping about God? No, they were griping about the thing that God put in their life to get them out of there. Amen? Amen. They said, everybody say, is God among us? Is he in the wilderness with us? First of all, we got to prove he's there. Don't mess with God. God is in your life right now. Your life's not going to start tomorrow. Your life is starting right now. You have just as much God in your life today as you're going to have in your life tomorrow or yesterday. Prove yourself to me, God. Work a miracle. Show me a sign. Show me a wonder. God is in your life, and you've got to acknowledge that. Don't tempt him. Amen. Now, I said we're going to study some other things in verse 18. Does anybody learn anything? Am I helping anybody this morning? Amen. Just a little bit?
Amen.
Helping anybody just a little? Yes. Someone said, let's get out of the wilderness.
Let's get out of the wilderness.
Say, I won't chide.
I won't chide.
Glory to God.
Nor will I murmur.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I tell you what, somebody said, well, wait a minute. We supposed to take everything hook, line, and sinker. Go over here to Numbers chapter 12. We're learning about some stuff.
Amen.
There are some spiritual, this is a holy house, and this is a thing of God. It's not just common. Amen. Don't you know what we hear from the Holy Ghost? Wake that brother up. Hallelujah. He shouldn't have been out so late. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That looks sharp, girl. Go on, Mel. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Only 2 hours. Amen. Now listen. Here. Everybody say, Marion. And people think because they get spiritual, they never qualify to complain because they're so spiritual. Who is more spiritual than Miriam and Aaron? They were second in command. Amen. Somebody say, oh, Lord. People think, oh, that's not for the spiritual ones. They could never mess up. That's for them people just getting in it. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But if they mess up, you know, they got, somebody say, they're covered, you know. See, we're covered. I tell you what. To whom much is given, much is required.
Amen.
And you get some prophetic people. I've seen them all come through here. You get prophetic people. They hear a word of God, and you know, these words come into bar, season, and all this other stuff, and they get to the point, well, I didn't receive that word. I hear the Holy Ghost too. Well, the Holy Ghost, blah, blah, blah. Somebody say hallelujah. Anybody been there? Well, the Spirit says this to me, glory to God. This is the same house, same Holy Ghost. This is the same Holy Ghost. He's not schizophrenic. We're going to teach this stuff today. Somebody say, glory to God.
God.
You'll catch this all the time. Now here go, somebody say, Miriam. Let me tell you how good Miriam was. Now Miriam was what? The prophetess. Somebody say, thank God for the prophetess.
Thank God for the prophetess.
How many prophetic people we have in here? To get you straight this morning. Somebody say, glory to God. Hallelujah. Now Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timber in her hand in Exodus chapter 15, verse 20, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dancing. Isn't that awesome? Y'all remember Miriam did that? Yes, sir. Exodus 15, verse 20. And Miriam, this is what, somebody say, this is what Miriam was on. She was out there dancing. Somebody say, dancing. Dancing and shouting and leading the people in singing. So you got to be careful. You can, one moment, you can be all together. Somebody say amen. Leading all the people. Amen. Because you're the prophetess. Somebody say the prophetess. Prophet. Then over here in Numbers chapter 12. Let's go there. And Miriam and Aaron spoke against Miriam, saying, because of the Ethiopian woman which he had married. And he had married an Ethiopian woman. Oh, cultural studies here. How many of y'all knew that Moses had jungle fever? How many of y'all knew that? Amen. There it is in the Bible. Everybody want to, somebody say amen. He had a black wife. My Lord. Somebody say amen. So did David.
Amen.
Amen. This is Jesus' granddaddy. Somebody say amen. So they got mad at Moses, you know. Glory. Did you know that the children of Egypt was led out of bondage by a multiracial couple. Good Lord. Pastor, if he was white, had a black wife, amen, and brought them out. Somebody say, glory to God. You see some people that don't, you know, around here, you wouldn't even go to church there. Amen.
Amen.
The word of God, somebody say, Ethiopian woman.
Ethiopian woman.
Lord have mercy. And God still talked to her. See how crazy we can get sometimes with ignorant, stupid stuff?
Amen.
Do you think he heard the Holy Ghost? He got out there, amen. Then he got out there, and the Ethiopian woman, and who had been married, the Ethiopian woman, and they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only to Moses? Well, that's how it gets around churches sometimes. He ain't the only one that can hear God. Oh, yes. He ain't the only one that hear God. I tell you what, I'll hear God on a higher level than you, and I tell you why, because my responsibility is greater. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. And those that are beyond me will hear God. God will reveal things to people that are beyond me, that are beyond my understanding. God will reveal things to Brother Hagin that are beyond what he tells me. You know why? Because those things are meant to affect more people. We all don't hear on the same level. We hear according to our responsibility. Oh, that's a hard teaching there. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. See, we got to learn those certain things. You know, of course, God's going to speak to the heart of the individual. But don't you think that if he's going to call someone, that he's going to give them a discerning heart? Especially in the heart of a true pastor. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. You can study that throughout Scripture and find that to be so. So I said, listen, don't we hear too? We all prophets. We all just need, if Mary, they say, look, that's our brother. That was his brother and his sister. And some people don't like family ministry. That was a family ministry right there. Did you know that? Miriam, Aaron, and Moses, they were all related. And they were all leading those people. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And listen, we hear God just like he hears God. Hath he not spoken? Listen, indeed, has he spoken only to Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? Yes, he did. And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Lord, have mercy. That means you don't have to be all loud, forceful, controlling to be a leader. You can lead with meekness, humility. Somebody say amen. He was a leader because God gave him the word. The word of God led the people. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Somebody say thank you. I've had to learn that in ministry. You're going to have to learn that in your lives and on your jobs and different things. It's the word of God on the inside of you that leads the people. Amen.
Amen.
Don't lead them in your own strength and in your own ability. And he said, listen. And he said, listen, upon the face of you. And the Lord spoke suddenly unto Moses and Aaron. And unto Miriam, and said, come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. He said, all three of y'all come out now. I guess they liked that because it used to be, hey, when it was time for them to go to the mountain, they would only call Moses. He said, this time, I don't want you to come, Moses, by yourself. Amen. He said, remember them too? And I'm sure they were happy when they heard that word. He said, didn't he speak to us too? He said, now God's got the message. He speaks to Aaron's, but now finally God figured out, now we all going to get out there. Somebody say, amen. We all going to go. He said, call them all three out. Somebody say, all three.
All three.
And they all came out, and the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Moses, and they both came forth. I guess they thought that was their ordination service. I'm just waiting for my time. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the people of the Lord shall behold. Wherefore, then, when ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses, the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. So we say, Lord, have mercy. God speaks to people in many different ways.
Amen.
Don't you, God speaks to me, well, I can't expect you to hear from God the way I hear from God. You can't expect to hear from God the way that, you know, the other way. There are diversities of gifts and diversities of operations of gifts and diversities of ministration of gifts. Don't you know that? There are measures of giftings. They didn't learn that, amen. He said, listen, I'm talking to him on this level. And therefore, the anger of the Lord was kindled against him. Why? Because he was just the vessel of the word of the Lord. And departed, and verse 10, and the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became what? Leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Moses, and behold, she was leprous. Why did Miriam get it and not Moses, not Aaron? She must have had the most mouth. Yeah. Alas, now listen. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not this sin upon us. Now, isn't it strange? He said, alas, my Lord. He straightened that stuff out, didn't he? So we understood. Now she was put together. Listen. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O Lord, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had been spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp for 7 days. After that, let her be revived in again. And Miriam was shut out of the camp for 7 days, and the people journeyed. Somebody say the people. See, this is the sad thing about it. Not that she got leprosy, but the sad thing about it, and the people. Somebody say the people.
The people.
Journeyed not. Yep, they all murmured. And the ringleader murmured. And just her mouth, all in and of itself, held everybody up for 7 days. Isn't that amazing? You get that kind of stuff. We see people coming all the time, you know. They ain't going to do nothing but hold everybody up. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Afterward, the people moved forward and pitched the tent and went right back to where? Somebody say glory to God. They went right back to another wilderness. There are a lot of people out of the camp today, stuck out there for a season. Amen. And we're sitting here waiting. Every time, now, did you know Miriam, one of the words for Miriam's name, everybody write down the word Miriam. One of the words for the name Miriam's name in and of itself. If you look up, let me give you the definition of Miriam's name. I just thought this was interesting. Y'all enjoying this?
Yes, amen.
It says rebelliously. Ooh. Isn't that, somebody say bitter. Or rebellious. I'm sure she was a good person, but she was bent in that direction. Amen? We've got to allow God. Oh, and it's so sad. You know why? You know a thing about that, this mighty prophet that led all the churches, you know she also died in the wilderness? If she heard God so clearly, don't you think he would have got that the words that she heard would have got her up out of the wilderness and not just Joshua? So that means you can be prophetically motivated. Amen. You can be prophetically motivated, strongly gifted. Even Aaron didn't make it out. Even Moses.
That's right.
Because everybody had a bigger plan. Amen. Other than the voice of the Lord. This stuff is written that we might learn and use them as an example. Amen. Just because you prophesied, just because God woke you up in the middle of the night, amen? You can beat a tambourine and dance. Amen? Doesn't negate, it's the word. God brings out the corporate people, not just individuals.
Amen.
If he wanted to do that, if he knew that only two were going to make it out, he would just say, okay, come on, Joshua. And Caleb, just you two back in Egypt. Y'all can just sneak out. You can be escaped slaves. Just you two and all these other people just leave in there. But those two hold on to what everybody else should have done, and they made it. So highly we forget that it's the word of deliverance. It's the word of deliverance. Our accepting the word of deliverance that brings us into the promised land. And not necessarily just our own spirituality. We got out there a little bit too far, and it's 12:30. This is a good teaching, though. You know, and I was talking to myself just this morning. I said, we hit some stuff in this church on Sunday mornings that you usually wouldn't hit on a Sunday morning, but it's still good. Y'all can handle it, right? And all of those things, what I want us to pick up tonight is going to be good. We got several things we want to study tonight. We're going to be talking about the next passage of Scripture. Oh, you're going to about when we were talking about how names represent things, how names represent things. The name of Miriam, you know, she's a mighty woman of God, but Miriam represents something. Isn't it nice studying about Miriam's life?
Amen.
Studying Miriam's life, how it could be an example to us. It's so sad in this church. How many of you have seen people come in this church and beating and singing and prophesying and leading all the people in shouts of praise? But today are out in some camp someplace. Nobody want to talk to them like they got leprosy. Tonight we're going to be talking about Israel and Amalek and Joshua. Very strong teaching. Why don't you stand up? Say, I am
coming
out of the wilderness.
The
word will come out of the wilderness. If you attach yourself to the word will bring you out of the wilderness. And all that held on to the word made it out. Amen. Say,
the word
is the ticket. Joshua and Caleb heard the word of God and they kept that good report and they made it out. You can ride the word of God out of any circumstance onto where God wants you to go. Amen. Look at somebody and say, there is
a word of God.
It is powerful.
It is supernatural.
It will open doors
and
bring you out and put you in to the place that God has prepared for you. Now just pray in the Holy Spirit for 30 seconds. It's just 12:30. Hallelujah. Father, we pray this morning that your people hear the word and apply it to their heart. That they would make it out of, that we would make it out of every wilderness experience that we face. Lord, we thank you for the good things you've placed in our lives. Father God. But Father God, we pack up, we lift up tent stakes right now in the name of Jesus to go to the place that you called us to get to. We believe your word and we hold it to be true.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hug somebody and have a cup of coffee on your way out the door. We love you. Amen. Don't miss tonight. Hallelujah. Good stuff. Hallelujah. I love you.
You're doing so good.
Guess what?
What?